Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's episode. I'm super excited for another interview today. I hope you are too. If you're listening to this episode, you're probably interested in maybe writing a book or maybe you have a book because today's episode, we are interviewing Melanie Hirshhorn. She is a book marketing expert. Welcome, Melanie, to the show.
Thank you so much, Whitney. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I just am so interested. I love that you have niched down and focused so solely on people who are writing books and how to help them succeed. This is its own world in general. So I'd love to hear and maybe tell everybody a little bit about you and what you do.
Sure. Well, I got here in a very circuitous way, but what I do is I help nonfiction and children's book authors really make their book have an impact in the world. So a lot of times people are told, well, if you publish a book, it's going to be the best thing ever. And the truth is that you can publish a book, but if you don't let people know about it, it's not going to make a difference. You end up being somebody who wrote a book and nobody knows, as opposed to somebody who wrote a book and made an impact in the world. So what I do is I help people who have written a book that has to do with their business, or they want to launch a new business, or they have a mission that they really want to build a movement around. I help them take that book and make magic and build a business with it, really.
I love that. And you know what's so funny is I use a similar line with people in general, the business owners that we come in contact with through the agency, that I always say, you can have the best restaurant in the world, art gallery, hotel, whatever the case may be, but if no one knows about it, you won't survive. Doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how incredible your writing is or your cooking or whatever. If you don't consistently stay in front of people with the right message in the right place, like, you'll just disappear. There's so much going on out there in the world. And like, I'm sure in the book industry too, how many books are there? Good Lord, you know?
Between 2 and 4 million are published every single year.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so first off, the first thing I want to ask and talk with you about is, I know there are two different angles to writing a book, and I know you can self-publish or you can work with a publishing company. Can you kind of shed some light on, like, what are the differences between the two, and is there one route that you suggest versus another?
Absolutely. So there's actually three, not to throw a wrench into your question, but there are three. So there's self-publishing, which is what it sounds like. You create your own publishing imprint, you upload your stuff, you have it where it's supposed to be, and you kind of think of yourself as like a pool contractor. The pool contractor really just gathers all the people together to build the pool. So as a self-publisher, you're kind of gathering all your people together. And I'm about to launch my book and I've created my own imprint. And so I had to find an editor, a proofreader, a book coach, a designer who was going to not only design the cover, but design the interior. So all that stuff, that's self-publishing. Hybrid publishing is paying a hybrid publisher to do all the stuff I just said for you. And because they take money up front, they don't take any money on the back end. They don't, or at least they shouldn't. And when I say back end, I mean, you know, from book sales, which, caveat, nobody gets rich off book sales. It's what you do with the book that matters. And then there's the third, which is traditional publishing, which, you know, Stephen King is traditionally published. J.K. Rowling is traditionally published. They had a, they wrote out a you know, a big, like, almost, I guess, like a treatise saying, you know, this is what my book is about. And they pitched it and then they got accepted. And while that is also another option for everybody, if you want to have your book done fast and how you want and you want creative control, I would recommend either going the hybrid or the self-publishing route, because a traditional publisher really has all the, well, they're in charge of everything. So if they don't like how you've written it, you have to change it. If they don't like the cover you like, well, that's probably too bad, because you have to go with what they say. And not only that, you've heard of book advances, right? You know, you get a, you get an advance and then you get whatever. They can take that back.
Really? Because I did not know that.
They can take it back if you, if your book does not perform the way they thought it would. So if you want to have control, which most of us do, I often recommend the second option. You know, I had a client who waited 14 months for her book to be published from the time she got accepted to the publisher. Where, and then I have lots of clients who in the 14 months, you know, wrote a book and finished it and published it. So it's, you know, of course you don't have to pay a traditional publisher. And so if you don't have a ton of money to put in up front, you know, I've heard as much as people paying as much as, you know, 20 grand to publish with a hybrid publisher. So over the place. All I can say is do your research. And I have a vast network of amazing people in the publishing industry. So I'm always happy to be a resource for anybody, because I know it's like, I know I'm talking a lot because there's just so much that there's so much misinformation, and I just want to get it out there all in one fell swoop here. Because there is so much misinformation, it's important to really feel good about who you're working with and get references. Now you can ask me a question.
And be clear from the beginning. Oh gosh, no, that's great info in general. And I think that's where most people, there are probably so many smart people out there that have great things to say, but they get overwhelmed with the whole process of like, I don't even know where to begin. Like, how do you make a book come to life? Like where, you know, so that's really, really valuable information. And I think that, like you said, everybody's different. Some people, self-publishing is the way to go, and other people, you know, it's better to have a publishing house. So that's kind of interesting, but 100%. So let's, one thing that you said, like really, really stuck with me about like, people don't get rich off book sales. Like, so what's the purpose of writing a book? I mean, if you're not going to make money from it, what's the purpose of it? Besides, well, maybe like leaving a cool legacy that your children can look and grandchildren can always say like, wow, look, my great grandmother wrote this book.
Yeah. And you know, when my great, great grandchildren pull out the book that I have launching, that's called Make a Big Impact with Your Book, they're going to go, wow, this is an antique. Nobody cares. It's for me, it's not about the legacy though. And yes, of course, you know, everybody, it's an ego thing. You want to be like, I'm a published author. But where you will make money from your book is by leveraging your book. And that's where all the marketing comes in. So there are so many opportunities to make revenue streams based on your book. So courses, for example, if you have a proprietary process that you include in your book, then you can go ahead and turn that into a course. And that's where money will come. If you have a children's book and you make stuffed animals, there's a really high margin on stuffed animals. You can make a stuffed animal for $1 and sell it for 50 if you want. And people will buy. I know, I'm a parent. I do it too.
Interesting. Let's see what
else. Yeah, there's so many opportunities. You know, if you want to become a speaker, Well, guess what? Your book is going to be such a great foray into that because you have a book. You are an expert. And then you say, and I mm-hmm. have this amazing, you know, this amazing keynote that is probably based on your book. And then you can mm-hmm. sell your books at the back of the room or sell programs from the stage. So, and this is all the stuff I help my clients with because it's, you know, it's like you said, why would I write a book if I'm not going to make money from it? But yeah. you can. It's just you have to do stuff with it. That
totally
authors in general say, I don't know what I don't know. And there's such, it's overwhelming, like you said. There's such a big, like it's so many details and such a monumental process. And then they get to the end of the publishing and then they go, oh my God, I didn't market it. And I'm burnt mm-hmm. out and maybe I don't have any money left. So mm-hmm. plan accordingly.
Yeah, it's very similar to a podcast. I mean, like we do this podcast, we put a lot of time and money and effort into it. But if you don't share, if you don't ask people to write reviews on it, if you don't put out an email blast every time you drop an episode, like it's not just the creation of the podcast that takes work. It's like getting it out there so people actually like enjoy it and get fulfillment or knowledge out of it. So when somebody comes to you, or actually when is the best time for somebody, if somebody's writing a book or they've already written a book, like when's the best time for somebody to like seek out help from someone like you?
In an ideal world, they would be writing the book and getting it prepared to be edited when they start marketing. But you know, that's an ideal world. So when should somebody really reach out? It's at any point from that moment when they're writing to a year out, 2 years out, and they go, wow, nothing happened. Well, guess what? Whitney and I, we're marketing PR people. So we know that you can make anything exciting and new again. It's all about how you position it.
Totally. Yeah. And we have people who come to us of like, hey, I have a grand opening in 2 weeks. Can you help us? And I'm like, oh, can I help you? I know, right? For everybody who's listening right now, we're like throwing our hands up in the air. We're like rolling our eyes. We're rolling because this is like the freaking story of my life. Like people come to me 2 weeks before and say, hey, I have this a big event 2 weeks away. Can you help? We haven't sold a single ticket. And I'm like, yeah, you should have called me 6 months ago. Like I could have really helped you strategize this whole thing. But I think what people have to learn about marketing and PR is that you've got to work way in advance. And depending on the industry and what you're working on, you know, like if we're trying to get people in a magazine, we have clients that wanted to be in like gift guides and stuff for the holidays, right? Okay. Yeah. You need to be pitching yourself to media in like June or July. Really, July is like the peak time. So like the whole Christmas in July thing, like that's a real thing. You've got to work that far out if you really want to be successful. I mean, you can still be successful, you know, like you see and hear these people talk about like messy action. That makes me feel messy on the inside. Yes. Can you make things happen with messy action? Absolutely. But can you go a lot further if you plan in advance? Absolutely. So when somebody comes to you, Melanie, and they're like, okay, I've got this book, I'm working on it, it's going to be ready in, I don't know, 6 months. Like, where do you go from there? Like, do you have a process you take people through? Like, how do you, you know, determine how for the, you know, how they can get the most mileage out of their book?
So yeah, I have a whole process that I've developed called the Impactful Author, and I take them through this system, and I do not believe in cookie cutter, and I know you and you don't either. It has to be customized, and I have been able to create a program that is easily customized to each author. So I'm helping them build their entire marketing platform, their foundational pieces. And then from there, we move into all the getting that ROI, you know, how to pitch yourself to podcasts, so how to pitch yourself to media, how to pitch yourself to summits to be speaking on stages. Just yesterday, I found out one of my clients, I helped him pitch himself to a very well-known bookstore in Colorado, and his book got in. And it was like the greatest thing, because when he came to me, the pitch was not good.
Yeah. And you're like, let me help you. Hi, this is why I'm here. This is why you pay me. I tell people, I'm like, don't feel bad. Show me what you got. And like, we can fix it. We can work on it together.
Yeah. And so I said, well, let's fix this part. Let's fix this part. And then it worked and it made me so happy.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that the best feeling in the world? We had a, we pitched one of our resort clients for this mermaid article. They have a mermaid that lives at their grotto pool. And it was like a big MSN article. And we were like, this is too perfect. We pitch it. When you see the article come through, or you see like that, like he got picked up in the Colorado bookstore. Like, it's literally like so exciting. It's so exciting. Like, we get more excited than the clients do, I think, sometimes, you know, because it's just so amazing to help people see what's possible, you know?
Yes. And to go from, and this is for you too, you know, you're going from an idea and making it real and changing the world with your idea. And that's what's possible when you write a book. That's what's possible when you work with Whitney. It's all that stuff. Now, let me ask you about mermaids. Have you seen that mermaid show on Netflix?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I think it's Netflix, but I have every single streaming service on the planet, so it might not be Netflix. There is an entire subculture of people, men and women, who want to be mermaids. And And so there's an entire series about it now. And wow, your client can really capitalize on that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll have to look into that. We've got a really fun, we've got like a super fun PR plan, a little PR thing we're working on with mermaids for the spring. But I'm going to totally have to watch that. And what's interesting is there are like people out there, total sidebar for everybody listening. There are mermaid tailors out there that will create a custom mermaid, real quote, I'm doing air quotes, everybody. They create a custom tail, and our mermaid Misty at the resort, her tail weighs like 50 pounds. Like, it is legit.
And it's thousands of dollars. And one of those guys is featured in that show. Whitney, you have to see the show.
Yeah, I'm totally going to have to watch that.
Mermaid sidebar.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Funny. But hey, that just goes to show there's a niche for everything. If you think like, no one's going to want to hear about my book, no one's going to hear about my mermaid, no one cares. Like, trust me, there's someone out there that cares. You just have to be in the right place saying the right message. I literally told someone this morning is like, where I think a lot of businesses miss the mark, if I had to simplify it down so simple, I think where they miss the mark is people either are A, they're in the wrong avenue, they're not getting to the right people. They might be saying the right thing, but they're saying it to the wrong people who aren't their potential readers or potential guests or customers. Or B, they're in the right place, but they're not clear on their messaging. And so people aren't purchasing from them, or people aren't, you know, buying from them or whatever, because they're unclear like of what they do or what they offer. So it's like got to be the perfect mix of like right place, right message, and to throw in a third curveball, right timing. And I know timing is a lot for a book launch too, because tell me a little bit about how this works. And like when you launch a book, you see all these people that are like, I'm in the top 5 of Amazon books, or I'm in the top 10. Like, how does all that work? Is that legit? I can't decide if they're like paying to be there. Like, how does that work?
Okay, so let's dispel the myth. I am an Amazon best-selling author. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. A lot of people bought my book for free at the same time, one time, in an hour.
For free?
Oh, yeah. You drop the cost of your book down to either zero or 99 cents. And then, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there's a whole system to it. And it's a nice to have. But a lot of times people will put that in their LinkedIn profile and be like, I'm an Amazon or I'm a best-selling author now. And I'll be like, well, how many books have you sold? And they're like, 20. It's a perception thing. It's real in that at one time in, you know, in one day at one specific time, your book was a bestseller on Amazon, most likely because you got everybody you know to download the book in this time, in this specific window.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice to have. And certainly those of us in the book who are not in the book industry don't know that. So, you know, your grandma will think that's really, really cool.
Yeah. You just said a very, very powerful word too. Perception. Perception. Perception actually in what we do in PR, perception can work in your favor and it can also work against you. You know, if everyone perceives you as being old fashioned and lame, then you're going to struggle, you know, but also you got to be careful because perception, some of these people who write books out here are not experts. They just had enough money to write a book. So you got to be careful about like the information you read and what you trust because just because someone writes a book does not make them an expert. Just because someone owns a business doesn't make them an expert. You know, like you've really got to like quantify what you're reading and fact check. I think that younger people, we have learned to fact check. Like I'm a millennial and I know Gen Z. We don't believe everything we see on Facebook. But you know, like sometimes like, you know, my parents are boomers. Okay. Shout out to boomers. Love all my boomers. But they didn't grow up in a digital age where they're used to fake news, you know? And so they read these articles and they're like, oh my God, did you see that something is happening? And I'm like, yeah, but look down at the bottom, like the platform that it came from is like crazyrichwhitegirl.com. Okay, that's not a valid source, mom. You know, like we're used to fact checking, but some people are not. So perception is so, it can work in your favor or it can work against you. Even some of these, like, you know, like you were saying, the Amazon bestseller and like these awards programs and stuff like that. I usually check into stuff like that, like the awards programs, because half of those are purchased. I was named to the top, dot, 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 dot. No, you bought an ad. And so they put you in their top, whatever, whatever. You also got to be careful. Some of these articles on things like BuzzFeed, some of those are paid placements. And then they're getting affiliate money from the links, but people think like, oh, they were named in BuzzFeed's top five suitcases for summer travel. Well, no, they freaking paid to be there, you know? So perception is a very a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are very passionate about perception. And so
We help people be perceived in the right way. You know, that's exactly why I named the agency True Story is like, yes, we help people be portrayed in their in truth of who they are, what they really do, because I feel so strongly about like fake. People are tired of fake in the world today, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm trained as a journalist. I never actually said how I got here. I'll say that really fast. I started out in PR. I was a celebrity publicist. And then I got really tired of the fake. Mm-hmm. And I went and I got a master's in journalism. And so then I worked as a journalist. And so getting to the truth of things and being skeptical and checking facts it's woven into my DNA, really. And I am not a millennial. I just missed the cutoff.
It's all right.
I had the last 6 months of the 1970s. I was there.
Oh, cool. So you're like a zennial or whatever they call them, you know, like a, I don't even know.
I'm like a nothing.
No, a Gen X millennial. I think they call them zennials. My brother's a zennial.
Oh, okay. Well, your brother and I are nothings, as I like to say. I'm a nothing. I don't fit in a box. But but you're right about fact checking. It's so key. And that's kind of, it's funny because like being too trusting is kind of how I got to where I am. Because after I was a journalist, I launched a breastfeeding clothing line because I really wanted to be, I wanted to be in retail. I wanted to be in design and clothing. I loved it. I hired somebody to help me with my marketing and she was toxic and evil. And she, you know, belittled me and took my money. And after that, I closed the business and thought, what can I do now? How can I support people? I can do their marketing. And so I totally am with you on that. Get to the truth. Be authentically you. That is how you are going to get people to enroll in your mission.
I love it. Okay, so if somebody's out there listening right now and they are working on a book or maybe they aspire to write a book, do you have any like, you know, like biggest mistakes that people make? Or, you know, I always love to hear experts talk about mistakes that they see in your situation, authors making.
Well, mistake number one is not thinking about, like, let me start. Mistake number one is not thinking about marketing until the book launch is tomorrow or next week. Mm-hmm. And then realizing they have absolutely no plan or money. A lot of times authors do not set aside the money for the marketing. And instead they spend a lot of money printing up flyers because what happens is as soon as you write on LinkedIn, for example, or on Facebook or on Instagram that you're an author, guess what? You start getting spammed. You get spammed a lot. I've been getting a lot of emails from companies promising to make my book a success. And I'm like, how did you even get my email? Oh, you mined it from social media. Mm-hmm. So that would be number two is don't be trusting. A lot of people are too trusting. I have there was a very large publishing company that shut overnight about 2 months ago and left, I don't know, hundreds of people in the lurch with their books. So do your homework, ask for references, or at least really get to know the person and person meaning the publisher, the book coach, the whomever. What is their track record? Are their clients happy even? Even if they can't give you like hard and fast numbers, are their clients happy? Do they feel like you did the job? Because there are so many people who are like, well, I had to switch publishers. I had to do this. So that's mistake number two. And then the final mistake is giving up. If after a month you're not seeing billions of sales, they give up. And I think that that's the saddest thing ever because they put in their heart and soul into this book. And to just give up and say, well, I'll just, you know, give it to my grandkids. That's really sad because if you've come this far, why not take it to the stars? Because you can. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say the same thing about marketing, you know, with some of our clients. Yeah, we have decades of experience between our team, but not everything we do works on the first try. Hello, if marketing was that easy, people would do it themselves and there wouldn't be agencies like mine out there. There's no perfect sauce that, like you said, like there's no perfect sauce that you can just package and say, this works for every single book launch. No, you've got to get creative based on your topic, on who's your ideal reader, on so many different things. And businesses hate hearing this, but sometimes you do have to test and pull data and see what works. So, and same thing about like, you know, some people hire us and they, you know, we make everybody commit to a minimum of 6 months of working with us. And they always say, well, can I do 3 months? Can I do 2 months? And I say, I mean, sure, you can, but I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, especially in PR, when we're planting seeds, it takes a little while for us to build these relationships and some of these stories and opportunities to come to fruition. So 3 months, you may see, you're going to see some results by then, but you're really cutting yourself short. But you know, again, our world is so trained for immediate gratification that when you tell someone that, hey, you got to keep trying, people don't want to work hard. People want to push a button for marketing and oop, and then it worked. Everything's great, you know? And I think that's just, that's not how, again, if marketing were that freaking easy, I'd be out of a job, you know? It's not. I tell people all the time, like, yeah, I've got a ton of experience. I jokingly say we're like scientists, you know? We start with a hypothesis. This is what usually works for your industry, for your type of business. And then we start our little concoction of, here's our hypothesis. Oh, it didn't work this time. So then we start extracting pieces and adding different pieces in of seeing what special mix will make the potion come to life. You know, it doesn't always hit on the first try. So I love that you said, don't give up, because, you know, instant gratification is just dialed into our brains.
You're like a celebrity chef. Because you're putting on the perfect ingredients. Yeah, just like, you gotta find the right recipe. Too much turmeric, or however you say that.
Yeah, you just gotta keep going, because maybe what didn't work this first time, it gives you the data. And that's also true, too, is people don't want to look at data. It overwhelms them. They don't know what they're looking at. And most importantly, they don't know what to do with it. Once they read the data and they're like, okay, this number's really, really low, they don't know why it's low or how to fix that. So that's kind of how, you know, people like you and I jump in. So
now, numbers do make me itchy sometimes, but we have to check them.
Right. I don't love it either. I don't do my own finances or anything like that, because I don't like numbers. That's how I got a communication degree, was because I was like, don't you try to put me through the school of business. I'm not taking calculus.
I took Get history. Out of here.
I'll do history. I can memorize people's names and dates and the war of 1912 or whatever, but like, don't try to get me to do an equation. I'm not in on that. But I do think with data that you've got to look at data. That's going to tell you where to go. So, okay, back to the book thing. I would love to hear, if you have any off the top of your head, do you have any like fun examples of like really unique book launches that you did, or something cool you guys came up with to like promote somebody's book?
Oh my gosh. Ugh. That's probably, I've got like so many things in my head. Okay, so I had a client who is an expert in olive oil, and he was able to time the launch of his book to a big trade show in New York City. And we had a big party. And I had also set him up with a publicist, and he got on the Kelly Clarkson show. Ah. So Kelly Clarkson was trying his oil, and it was really cool. So that was really fun. Because again, it's like, olive oil, that's not something you think about. You think about, you know, if you think about business book, you're like, leadership book, how to be a good leader in, you know, this year, whatever. So, and I have another client who, she has a whole book series called Mom's Knot. And it's like, the first one was Mom's Knot Wiping Your Bum. And so we've done so many campaigns using the book and the humor and getting children involved, and, you know, video of kids on the toilet. Like, it's hilarious and it works. And her next book, she just actually, speaking of numbers, texted me the other day. She's got like 800 pre-orders of her new book. Hasn't even launched yet.
Yeah, it's like, you've got to evoke some kind of emotion. I had somebody, one of my dear friends is a clinical psychologist, and she works she's a clinical psychologist. So she works with women on their attachment style so that they can find their soulmate, kind of like relationship type work, and she sent out boxes to everybody. And I got a box before the book launch. I got a box that had like all these cute little self-love things in there. Oh, actually, I have it on right now. You can't see in the, if you're listening to the pod, it's one of those cute little message bracelets, you know, with the little words, but it says keep going. And it was like a candle and like all these self-care things. And I was like, oh, that's really cute. And then the book came after that. And the book is all about like loving yourself first before you can get into a relationship or whatnot. So, but she was really strategic about it. She knew I'm a single woman, you know, like she, I think she like strategically picked out, we didn't help her on the launch. Like this is all her, she did it all herself. I'm really proud of her. It was such a fun idea, but she picked out like women with good followings that are single. And she sent out these boxes and then you're like, oh my gosh, cool. So they got a lot of social media love off of it. And then the book came after that as well. So I was like, that's a great little way to like uniquely get in front of people and get some organic share on social media.
Absolutely. And influencer marketing can be such a great tool to get your book out there. Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more that you don't just send the book.
Yeah.
You want to send things that sort of evoke an experience and feelings. So you had a full-on experience of self-love and you got gifts. And if that's your love language, then you know, it sounds like she hit all the love languages in the box.
Yeah.
So thinking outside of, you know, beyond just handing somebody a book, what can also be in that box? It's brilliant. I love it. That's all fun. I love that.
Oh, I love it. Well, before we head out, I want to make sure if anybody is interested, for all the authors out there listening, hopefully you are not launching in a week, but if you want to connect with Melanie and figure out a great plan for your book launch, Melanie, let's tell everybody how to find you and connect with you.
Sure. Well, I have a gift for your listeners. It is the ultimate book marketing checklist, and you can download it for free if you go to my website, which is vipbookmarketing.com/checklist.
Love it. Okay, y'all, go download that we'll put the link in the show notes. I can't even say it right now. tongue-tied. So you can also connect with Melanie on Instagram. Is there any other platform that you like to tell everyone to reach out to you?
LinkedIn, Facebook, I'm there also.
Awesome. And we will link up everything in the show notes. Melanie, thank you so much for being here today. Book marketing is like, one day I'm going to write one and I'm going to call you.
I love that. I'm there. I will answer the phone.
Perfect. All right, Melanie. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using #TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.